Track 8. The distinctive faces of Bagot goats with their impressive horns have been a feature of Cromer Cliffs for several years, delighting visitors as they work at keeping the vegetation under control.
It would turn out to be a perfect match. On one side, a large section of cliff at Cromer, covered in brambles and stinging nettles and requiring difficult and expensive work to clear using a specialist team with ropes and chainsaws. On the other, a goat breed listed as at risk by the Rare Breed Survival Trust, who are at their happiest on difficult terrain, have a healthy appetite for browsing the very same brambles and stinging nettles, and a constitution which means they don't worry about a brisk north wind or cold sea fret. North Norfolk District Council had found their ideal grazing operatives. Many years ago, I volunteered for the RSPB, who were using cattle and sheep to shorten the grass length on the island of Oronce to provide insects for choughs, says Environmental Protection team leader James Ashby, who's been involved in the Bagot Goat project since 2018. I learnt the basics of conservational grazing and the principles of adapting the method to the landscape you intend to manage. For us, the Bagot goat's hardiness and comfort on the cliff slope was also balanced by wanting to do something to help the breed, of which only 200 to 300 breeding nannies remain. Back in 2014, the cliffs at Cromer were infested with rats. The public were throwing food to seagulls, which often landed at the base of the dense overgrown vegetation, feeding the rodents, which ran amok. The cliffs from Melbourne Slope to the zigzag slope near Runton Road car park comprised difficult, hazardous terrain, which meant estimates to cut it mechanically proved very high. Then came the inspired idea for using goats, and in 2016 a small area of cliff was fenced off with livestock fencing. The first 8 goats arrived that April, 2 from Lenwade in Norfolk and 6 from Levens Hall in Cumbria. The origins and nature of this primitive breed means that the animals are not used to being handled and are semi-feral, James explains, supplying supplementary feed, particularly when they're overwintering, and providing landscape management encourages some human interaction. But they don't like close proximity, which is actually beneficial when tourists at Cromer can get right up to the fence. Also, he continues, through experimental breeding we can interchange, identify the troublemakers and sell them off, enabling us to utilise the more docile individuals. Skittish goats jump when under pressure, which is not good news. In 2017, a larger area was fenced off and 8 more goats brought from Levens Hall. The goats soon proved very popular with the public and did a fantastic job managing the vegetation. Wildlife began to return once the brambles were gone. Wildflowers emerged as the seedbed came through. Thistles thrived to support goldfinches, and kestrels hunted bank voles. A complete herd, purchased in 2018, created a perfect opportunity to breed Bagot goats and help improve numbers, James says. The kids were housed at Wiverton Hall, and the herd once peaked at 50. But there were limitations on resources, and the numbers became unmanageable. The surplus was sold to different wildlife trusts and private individuals. Today, NNDC has a herd of 12 nannies, 2 matriarchs and some younger ones of 2 or 3 years old. The breeding stock is now down to 8. However, new blood from the Levens Hall line can be accessed at any time by borrowing back a billy from the National Trust. The life of a semi-feral grazer isn't easy, but their overwintering landscape work on heathland has proved highly effective, pushing the gorse back to encourage heather, James comments. Most recently, the goats have been doing conservation work on a hillside location which had been left fallow for many years, he says proudly. A wrong mixture of plant species had dominated the habitat, but the Bagot's love of nibbling bark reduced the number of hawthorn bushes and the shorter grass became beneficial to rare ground-nesting birds, such as skylarks and the Eurasian curlew. As well as the installation of fences and piped water to drinking troughs, there are running costs, such as the yearly vet check and coarse ration feed. These are supported by the sale of goats on the slope merchandise, such as mugs, tea towels, postcards and fridge magnets, available at Cromer's Tourist Information Office. The cliff season's not determined by the weather, but by the quality of the vegetation, which is negatively impacted by the sea spray, says James. The salt hinders early grass growth, but by mid-June there's a surge, so the goats are released onto the cliff then and taken away to do other management work after late August, when the nutritional value of the dying grass drops off once more. The future of the goats will be guaranteed, not only because of the lower costs and environmental advantages of using animals as opposed to petrol-driven machinery, but also by the positive perception of NNDC's environmental services that they've reinforced. The situation was compounded by sea buckthorn, a difficult bush to remove, James smiles, but five summers of baggot work has seen this wiped out, and foxgloves and even bluebells can now be seen. The goats are here to stay, even though their operations have been scaled down. After all, they're loved by visitors and the people of Cromer alike. The cliffs just wouldn't be the same without their slightly standoffish black and white caretakers.